Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday, August the 31st, 2026. Last day of the month of August. 20 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Can you imagine September 1st tomorrow, 1 week away from Labor Day? Labor Day is next Monday. Isn't that nuts? And apparently we're going to have some warm weather this week. Now, this past Saturday, I want to get to this right off the top here. This past Saturday, I went down to downtown Marion, the Marion County Courthouse, and covered a rally. Now, this was not a No Kings rally, but it was put on by Citizens for Democracy. And essentially, this was a rally, I would say, for decency, being nice to other people, being cordial, and anything that might upset you. So not so much focused in on President Trump and the current policies of this country, much like the No Kings rallies have been, because this one also did cover flock cameras, so it covered things on the local level. Whole lot of stuff going on Saturday in downtown Marion, and a lot of politicians there, as we are under 70 days from the big election coming up in November. So I want to play a few short interviews that I did on Saturday. I did an opening on Saturday to the interviews for the interviews that I did. Here's that opening, and then we'll get into some of the interviews. Scott Spears here in downtown Marion today, Marion County Courthouse, where Center Street meets Main Street. It's the Stand for Your Rights rally. Now, this is not a No Kings rally, but with a similar twist. As we get ever so close to the elections coming up here in Ohio in under 90 days, it's going to be something. We're going to elect a new governor. Will it be Amy Acton? Will it be Vivek Ramaswamy? We've got a Senate race that really the country is waiting to see what happens in. Sherrod Brown, John Husted. A lot of things going on in downtown Marion today. There's a lot of celebration across the street. People are having a good time here. They're protesting. They're exercising their right to free speech. And that's what we like to see. We're going to talk to a few people today. I think there is the Democratic candidate for Jim Jordan's House seat here in Ohio here today. We're going to talk with him and a few of the organizers of this event. So stay with us here on WGH Talk Radio. Now, one of the first people that we spoke to on Saturday was the gentleman. His name is Joshua Kolosinski. He is the Democrat running against Jim Jordan. Now, interesting fact. Last week, there was an article that appeared in the Columbus Dispatch. Actually, it was an editorial. Now, this editorial was written on behalf of the independent candidate in that race, Tracy Tackett. And it was calling on Josh to get out of that particular race, the race against Jim Jordan, so she would have a better shot at it. And we ran into Josh. I had not met Josh, and we got to talk to him. I got to talk to him about a whole lot of things, the rally, and also that editorial that was written in the Dispatch last week. So here is the man, the Democrat, running against Jim Jordan. Will he get out of the race? Josh Kolosinski, here on WGH Talk from Saturday.
Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio, at the Stand for Your Rights rally, downtown Marion here at the courthouse, where Center meets Main, and we have run into a candidate for office running against Jim Jordan, the Democrat, in just about 90 days, under 90 days. Now, who do we have with us?
Joshua Kolosinski.
Josh, why are you running for this office?
Because I think there's too much influence in Congress over from other people, like special interests, instead of just the American people. And I want to put that influence back in the hands of regular Americans like us.
Running against Jim Jordan must be a daunting task. What's it like to run against a man who has so much notoriety and money at this point?
Well, I haven't seen him yet, so I wouldn't have been influenced by talking to him in person. But it's like it's every time I go to on a stage or get introduced, I hear a lot of boos and, you know, praise for me. And running against him, you know, it's people don't like him. So I, you know, it's I don't think this is going really well. you know, yeah, running against him is, you know, it's easy because the Republicans look so bad right now. Republicans are doing so much things to hurt people and so many things to, you know, go against what they said they were going to do during the election. And Jim Jordan won't criticize anything Republican or anything Donald Trump. So, you know, he's got to defend that.
Why do you think he continues to win in this district?
I think because the media that people watch and see that in the district is mostly right-wing media, and they just get one side, and they don't really see the other side of the story and hear from other sides.
What do you feel the purpose of today's rally is?
Just to bring awareness to what is going on with, like, the tariffs and the way that things are unaffordable, like healthcare and groceries and fuel and this ridiculous war, and just to make sure people know that we're out here, you know, being opposed to what's going on with the Trump administration.
Why do you think that even with the way things are right now, the war in Iran, the tariffs, so on and so forth, that a lot of our races statewide in Ohio are still tied? Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy, tied more or less. Sherrod Brown, John Husted. I think Sherrod Brown has pulled ahead a little bit, but more or less tied. We're getting very, very close to this election. Why has nobody been able to pull ahead?
I think it's a lot of because of the commercials that are on TV. You know, the Republicans have a lot more money, and their super PACs have a lot more money, and they have a lot more negative ads against the Democratic opponents. And then again, with the bubbles of media that people are in, and they're in their comfort zones, and they're not going to leave their comfort zones, and so it's really hard to break those bubbles and get the word across the lines.
Now, Josh, there's also an independent running in your race. Do you think that makes things easier or more difficult for you?
My hope is that the two of us can join together and, you know, have debates and with each other and have a seat for Jim Jordan, and then make it as loud as possible that he's not showing up because he doesn't think that he needs to earn anybody's vote. And I hope that the two of us together can pull enough votes away from him to where we all end up in the 30s and one of us pulls ahead, and hopefully it's me, but if it's her, that's better than him.
You know, it's very interesting. There was an editorial in the Columbus Dispatch in the last couple weeks that was calling for you to get out of the race, I believe, in favor of Tracy Tack at the Independent. What did you make of that editorial? It got a lot of news.
Yeah, I think that was a last-minute effort to try to get me to drop out. You know, that came out 1 week before the dropout deadline. And I did consider it for a night, and you know, I would have considered it more if she would have had more of a following, like Dan Osborne does in Nebraska, or even close to that. And since, you know, every time I mention her name, people don't know who she is, and I think I have a better following. And so I'm not willing to give up the work that I've done and throw it away just for over a one phone call and at the last minute. So
where do you think that editorial came from?
That came from David Hartley, from the congressman. He was a House congressman in Clark County from the 80s to the 2000s. And he invited me over to his house about a week before that came out. And we talked for about an hour, and 2 hours, actually. And he did let me know that he thought Tracy had a better shot. But I think it was a little bit of a setup, because right after she called me and we had the conversation to get me to drop out, then the next day he put the article in the Dispatch. So I thought that was a little bit of a shady move.
Have you spoken to her since?
I haven't. I texted her and let her know that I was not going to drop out, and she let me know that she was disappointed. Then the article came out, and there's been a little bit of action on social media with people saying that I could drop out, but all in all, only about a half a dozen people raising their voice, and I think I've gotten actually more following just from that.
So at this point, no chance that you would drop out?
Not at all.
All right. Are you the stronger candidate?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to stand by my principles, and I'm going to be convicted to be humbled when I get there and minimize the wealth and power, influence, and potential that Congress members have. There's not many people that are going to get in there and then also minimize their own wealth and power. So I'm going to go in there and do the right thing and bring it back to the hands of the people instead of the big money.
Why should people vote for you coming up this fall?
Because what I just said, I'm convicted to being somebody for the people, and I'm not going to be compromised. And I'm going to get big money out of politics, and we're going to have socialized. I don't want to say socialized healthcare. I want to say Medicare for all, so that we're all paying for one insurance company, not government-run hospitals. And you know, I want to have a code of ethics for the Supreme Court, and I want to ban stock trading and ban the revolving door for Congress members to be becoming lobbyists after they leave office.
You know, I did want to ask you one question. It's kind of interesting today. Vivek Ramaswamy and a lot of the other Republican candidates are in Columbus today at a pro-issue 3 rally, which would codify the identification into the Ohio Constitution, that idea that we would have to present identification when we vote. Now, another person for that is Amy Acton, oddly enough. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that we already have a very secure voting system, especially in Ohio, and we already have voter ID in Ohio, where you have to show your ID, and you also have to sign your name. And if you don't sign your name right, they can turn you away for that. So I think it's just a lot of hype that there's any real danger of any election fraud, especially in Ohio, and it's just following along with the hype, just like they are with the culture wars, and not really responding to real issues of affordability and housing and healthcare and things like that.
Does it bother you that the Democrat running for governor is with Vivek Ramaswamy and with Mr. Sprague, the Secretary of State candidate, on this one?
No, I don't think it bothers me. I think that it's good to have people show their ID when they vote. But I think I don't want to at all hinder people getting their ID. I mean, that's what the SAVE Act is about. It's about having more hurdles for people to get a valid ID and able to vote. And so that's their attempt to diminish the vote and purge voter rolls. And so, yeah, if an ID is easy to get and reasonably inexpensive and not any hurdles to voting, then, yeah, I believe that we should have our ID to vote.
All right. Josh, give us your name again so people know what to do when it comes to the voting booth this fall.
Joshua Kolesinski for Ohio's 4th District, and I can be found at joshuaforohio.com.
Joshua Kolesinski this past Saturday, and he is your Democratic candidate for the congressional seat currently held by Jim Jordan, and he is not dropping out of that race. Now, while we were in downtown Marion on Saturday, we ran into our old friend Glenn Coble and spoke with him for a few minutes. Here's that interview.
Here's here WGH Talk Radio, and we are downtown today at the Marion County Courthouse Stand for Your Rights rally with one of our friends who helped organize this for Citizens for Democracy, Glenn Coble. Glenn, tell us about your sign.
Well, resist is the main theme. And we're just trying to get people to resist and say what we're not trying to have a fight. We just want people to resist what our government is trying to do to us, which is take away our rights.
Now, your sign says only you can prevent fascist liars, and you've got Smokey the Bear there with a fascist hat on.
Well, he's not the fascist. He's against fascism. And we're trying to use all the different symbols that we can, that people love, to further our aim.
Now, this is not a No Kings rally. This is a Stand for Your Rights rally.
Yeah, by No Kings. Sure.
Right. Well, what is the difference?
There really isn't a difference. We're just all here trying to say, do what you believe is right, not what you're being told by your administrators to do. And I think most people know that we don't want another king, and I think most people know that we want people to be honest, fair, and kind to each other. That's really what we stand for.
What makes you angry these days?
People that are not kind to each other. That really makes me infuriated. I also really don't like people arguing about everything, especially when they don't know what they're talking about.
Now, I want to ask you, the governor's race is coming up less than 90 days. The Senate race, big Senate race between Sherrod Brown and John Husted, less than 90 days. We're seeing commercials all over the place. How do you feel about those two races?
I really get bored with those commercials, and I hate that they're using so many negative commercials. I'm voting for, shoot, now I've forgotten her name.
Amy Acton?
Yeah, yeah. I'm voting for Amy Acton, but she's come out with a lot of things that I think are wrong. But it doesn't mean I think that Ramaswamy is right. So did I mess that name up?
Ramaswamy.
Yeah. Oh, well. But I think she's, you have to vote the best choice, and you have to vote your conscience. You have to vote what you believe is right for your fellow man. And that's what we're doing down here. That's why we have all these signs and all these people here. I notice it's getting rather thin again, but it's okay.
Why do you think it's getting thin again?
Well, it's a pretty day out, and they want to take the kids out. And I would, too. I understand that. When I was a dad and I had my kids at home, we'd be out playing in the park.
It's always fun. Glenn Coble, downtown Marion.
Now, while we were in downtown Marion on Saturday, we also ran into the Democratic candidate in the 86th District, Ken Halloran.
Scott Spears here in downtown Marion, Stand for Your Rights rally with the Democratic candidate in the 86th District House race. Coming up this November, Ken Halloran. Kent, good to see you down here. Not a tremendous turnout. What do you make of the turnout for today's rally?
It's a little smaller than we had hoped for, but you know what? We're here. It's great weather. We're getting the message out. That's all that matters.
What is the message?
The message is stand up for your freedom, and the number one freedom that we're trying to get a lot of people to consider and to do is vote. Get out there and vote. That's one of our number one messages with this rally. Also, we're looking at, there's the usual things that were, you know, against some of the administration's policies. But right now, and especially in the case of a guy who's running for office, I'm getting the word out, and I'm hoping that this gets the word out, that vote. The government is of the people, by the people, for the people, and we've got to take it back.
What are most people angry with today?
Oh, we had, we did have a gentleman here who was trying to represent MAGA, so he was mad that we were here to begin with. But a lot of people are talking about, they're mad about the tariffs. We're certainly mad about the war in Iran. We've even got some people saying the war in Iran, which has been said in the by others, that the war in Iran is just a distraction from the Epstein files. So, you know, pick a subject and pick a policy, and chances are we've got a protester on that issue.
Biggest issue in your race in the 86th as we head toward Election Day?
Well, there's a lot of issues. And again, the issues I'm pushing for is we need the state to stick with what the state should do. The state should maintain public schools and solid infrastructure. That alone will help bring business to the state. We don't need fancy advertising. We need our infrastructure working, our broadband secure, and we need our public schools in better shape than they are right now.
Ken Halloran, Democratic candidate in the 86th District House race, downtown Marion today, the Stand for Your Rights rally.
Now, while we were in downtown Marion on Saturday, we ran into two local gentlemen and got their thoughts on what was going on.
Scott Spears here in downtown Marion, Marion County Courthouse, just across the street from it. Stand for Your Rights rally, and we've got two of the protesters here today. Who do we have?
Ashton Seals. Michael Grubbs.
What is the biggest issue that brings you two down here today?
There's a lot of them. I'd say right now it's the flock in Marion. We really just feel like it's pressing on a lot of people's rights, you know. It's not something that we need in Marion, and it's not something that I think anybody really truly agrees with if they think about the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, I would have to agree. The flock is the biggest issue right now. Nobody wants it, but somehow the authorities do. No, we don't want it.
All right, let's talk about flock. The mayor vetoed the legislation to pass flock cameras. They tried to overturn the mayor's veto, city council did, and ended up with less votes than they had to pass the actual legislation. The vote went from 5-4. What do you make of the veto and the loss of votes to overturn the veto?
I disagree with the veto, and I did actually email Mayor Collins about it. I also feel like the council swapped votes behind the scenes, kind of, because from what I understand, they were already advertising before the public meeting that they were just not going to have the votes for it. So I feel like that was done kind of behind the public eye.
Yes, I'm in the county, so I couldn't vote on that send anything over. But I did mention to the chief of police that this is not something that he can guarantee is going to be useful because we don't know where the data goes once it's up in the cloud.
Why is this such a flashy issue? The city's in fiscal emergency. There's all kinds of things going on. Curbside recycling is gone.
programs are being eliminated, sanitation bills going up, storm sewer rates going up. There's about to be a committee form that will meet for the first time in September because of the fiscal emergency that we're in. Yet flock cameras brings the most attention, gets the most talk on Facebook, but probably will not have the biggest effect on Marion. Why is that?
Honestly, I think it's because flock is more of a nonpartisan issue, and people are very divided right now. It's still very left versus right, red versus blue, and I think a lot of people kind of flock together about the flock issue. So I think that's become the bigger issue because more people are against it than for it.
Yes, I would agree with that. It's something that we all agree on, right? Left, center, doesn't matter. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants surveillance in mass. And that's what we have. That's what flock is. It's mass surveillance. So it's harder to unite on issues that divide us. I mean, there's a lot of people that agree or don't agree with how things are going, but we're highly divided on that. Whereas in flock, we're united. Everybody doesn't want it. And apparently that doesn't matter, though.
One issue I want to talk about today, because it is sort of strange. We have a governor's race coming up in less than 90 days here in Ohio, Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I believe there's a rally being held in Columbus today with Vivek Ramaswamy and some other Republican candidates in support of Issue 3. Now, very quickly, Issue 3 would make voter ID, which is already mandatory in Ohio, part of the Ohio Constitution. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy is for that. Mr. Sprague, our current treasurer, is for that, who's running for Secretary of State. And somebody else who's for that is Amy Acton, the only Democrat in this current cycle who's for that. What do you make of Amy Acton's support for Issue 3, which puts her in lockstep with Robert Sprague and Vivek Ramaswamy, and against the Democratic Secretary of State candidate, Alison Russo?
Well, I personally am a nonpartisan person. I do back Amy Acton simply because I feel like we do need a change in Ohio, and Ohio itself has been Republican for a long time. I don't agree with that decision. I feel like we already have the voter ID. We have to have driver's license to vote. So I don't see why we need to enshrine that in our Constitution when it's already a law.
Yeah, I agree. It's already a law. There's no reason to enshrine it in the Constitution. We all know that you're required to show voter ID when we go to vote. And I think that this is her race to lose. And by tying herself up in this is just another fail. She does not need this to win. She should be walking further away from this, I think.
Give us a prediction. Who's going to win the governor's race? Who's going to win the Senate race?
Honestly, I don't think Sherrod Brown really has the Senate race, but I think that the race between Acton and Ramaswamy is kind of tied at this point. I really can't tell who's going to have it.
Yeah, I don't know that Sherrod Brown has it, but yeah, Amy Acton, I don't. It's going to be close.
For the people listening at home, read your signs to them.
Mine says, "Silence is surrender. Vote."
Impeach Taco, man.
Point that toward the camera. Impeach, yep. Taco, which means, for people who don't understand,
Trump always chickens out.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for coming over today.
All right. Also, while we were in downtown Marion on Saturday, we spoke with the Democratic candidate in the 87th District House race, Laura Coverett. And here comes that interview right now.
Hey, Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio. We are downtown today at the big rally, and we are joined by the Democratic candidate coming up this fall for the House seat in the 87th District. Who do we have?
My name is Laura Coverett. I'm running for Ohio House District 87.
Laura, who are you running against?
My Republican opponent is Jeff McClain. He's the father of the current seat holder, Reardon McClain. And there's an independent in the race. Craig Schwartz is running as the independent.
Why did you decide to run for this seat?
Well, I decided that now is the time for change, and that it's about time that we have somebody running against the Republicans that largely run unopposed, so I wanted to give them a run for their money.
What do you make of what's going on in the state at this point?
Well, I think we've been under Republican leadership for the past several years, and things don't seem to be improving or going very well, so it's time to bring some change, some thinking outside of the box, and I think that I can bring about that change.
What are the main issues that concern you and the voters?
Well, one of the main issues of my campaign platform is the 23 bypass that's going to cut through Delaware, Morrow, and Marion counties. That is one of the main issues or reasons why I decided to run. Data centers are another big issue that I work in IT, so I have some particular knowledge around tech and data centers in particular. And then the third thing is healthcare and prescription drug costs. I think we can make a lot of improvements there.
What can you do between now and November to defeat your opponent?
Well, I'm out the things like this. I'm a working person. I work a regular 40-hour a week job. I'm out with the. I'm a member of the community and with the community. So I'm here to represent working people in the district.
How do you feel about the statewide elections going on in the fall, which will have an impact on localized elections, the governor's race and the Senate race?
I think it's important that we elect Sherrod Brown and Amy Acton to those seats, those positions.
What do you think brings most people out today here who are protesting?
Well, the flock cameras is the big issue here in Marion. I attended one of the Marion City Council meetings where the vote was passed to get rid of the flock cameras. And then I wasn't able to make it in person for the next meeting where they where I saw that the mayor vetoed that. The people don't want the flock cameras here in Marion, so that's a big issue.
Laura, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
They can go to my website. It's Laura, L-O-R-A, Coverett, C-O-V-R-E-T-T, for Ohio87.com.
Laura Coverett, your Democratic candidate for Ohio's 87th District. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And before we left on Saturday, we closed up things from downtown Marion, and here is that bit of audio footage.
Hey, Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio, the Stand for Your Rights rally in downtown Marion. At the corner of Center and Main Street, the Marion County Courthouse is where it's all happening. Not a huge crowd today, but people did turn out. They want to protest. They want to talk. They want to have their voice be heard, which is what this is really all about. Now, we can kind of pan the crowd here and get a look at some of the signs that are out here today. Well, of course, we see the signs that say, Save Our Democracy, Vote. We've got Stop the Tariffs and a whole other litany of signs out there today as people protest for the right to protest about what's going on in this country. Flock cameras, still a major concern here in Marion, Ohio. Maybe that issue will never go away. Who knows at this particular point? We've got the elections right around the corner. Governor's race, Vivek Ramaswamy, Amy Acton, what's going to happen there? We've got the Senate race, Sherrod Brown, John Husted, what's going to happen there? And a whole lot of other people up and down the ballot. You got to stick with us, WGH Talk, to get all the latest news. But for this day, a very beautiful day in downtown Marion, right across the street from the Marion County Courthouse, for the Speak Your Mind, Hear Your Voice, Democracy, Freedom Rally, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And that's our report from Saturday's rally in downtown Marion at the Marion County Courthouse. 48 minutes past the hour here. If anybody has anything they'd like to say, feel free to buzz in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I hope that gave you a taste of some of the local candidates that normally you don't get to hear from. We had Ken Haller in there, who's the Democratic candidate in the 86th District. We had Laura Coverett from the 87th District, the Democratic candidate. And Josh Kolasinski, who is running against Jim Jordan as the Democrat. 740-383-9944. And flock cameras continue to be talked about. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Saturday was a lovely day, wasn't it?
Very nice weather. Nice event down there.
So, you know what I don't think is fair, though, is that you were standing in the shade. So the sun had a bit of a bite to it. And with my porcelain goddess-like skin, I had to retreat to the shade a few times, even with my sunscreen. But the breeze and It was very nice. The sun could have been behind us, but, you know, I can't make the sun do what I want it to. So
you know,
I'm working on that.
You know what I liked about that rally? Now, probably a one of the lower turnout rallies, but there were more candidates there who I had not talked to than ever before. So I liked meeting Josh. I liked meeting Laura and getting a few words with them to kind of see where they stand.
And you got there around 1 o'clock, I think?
Yeah, 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere, yeah.
There were some people that had came and gone that just didn't have the entire afternoon to commit before you had gotten there. So I'm not trying to pump the numbers up or anything, but I believe that throughout the 2 hours, there were probably 40-ish people there that had came and gone, 40 different people. And then, yeah, the candidates that show up as well. And then, there was a funeral, a very sad situation happened in Marion, and the funeral happened on Saturday. And I know a lot of people attended that funeral as well.
Who would have normally been there?
Yeah, well, yes. There's some people I know that were at the funeral that did not come to the rally. And I had already committed to the rally, like committed to the point that, you know, and I did not know the person that deceased well enough to, I feel like, flake on my commitment. You know what? I don't want to say flake, but my presence wasn't missed. How's that at the funeral? And because that makes sense. Like, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that I chose to go to the rally instead of the funeral, but my presence wasn't missed there. And if anything, it might have just detracted from what was going on.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that always amazes me about these rallies, and has since they started, what, more than a year ago now, you know, we reported on that, and however many people were there over the course of the two-hour period.
So how many did you count? How many when you were there?
I mean, it was not a huge number. I mean, it was definitely under 50, I would say.
Oh, for sure, but I mean, when you were there, it's like 30, would you say?
30, like yeah, 30, yeah. 35, somewhere in there.
Some people had came and gone. So I guess that 40-ish. I'm not trying to pop up the numbers. It was smaller than I expected, but you and I talked about last week, the first get the flock out was like 5, and then the next time it was like 15, and you know, now we're talking 40-ish. So growth is growth.
Yeah, and I mean, I also think this was not very well publicized. A lot of people in the comment section when we filed the story was, we didn't know this was happening.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, the struggle of a small community group that's trying to organize is getting the word out. And, yeah, so, but it's 40 this time, and who knows how many it'll be the next time. But that's 40 people that I know for sure are engaged enough that I could probably get them to send an email or make a phone call or, you know, pass some literature or do something like that. So it was a good way for the people in the community that wanted to organize to meet each other, the ones that were serious. And that is something that I wanted to point out. Some of the most vocal people at City Council were not there. They were noticeably absent.
Well, that is true, but you know something that has fascinated me since these rallies began? You know, we posted our story Saturday afternoon sometime, 302 reactions.
Oh.
The comments.
Isn't it insane how upset people get about some people outside with signs? Well, what did you accomplish? What do you care? I mean, pissing you off, apparently, is what I accomplished. And this guy, in your comment section, said, well, what rights did you defend? Okay, and then I literally went to the First Amendment where it said the right to protest, peacefully protest, and the right to, you know, petition your government, and I circled that. I was like, those are the rights that we protected. And then, you know, then he moved the goalposts. Then it turned into something else. Then it turned into me, like, buddy, at least I got up off my ass and got some steps in today. What about you? Because it looked like it would take, you know, maybe a bag of Doritos and a 12-pack of Mountain Dew to pry you out of that chair. So let's not talk about just the sunshine and exercise factor and socialization with other human beings from somewhere other than behind a keyboard. I don't understand why people are so triggered by this, but
well,
my goodness, are they triggered?
There is a divisiveness in general. Now, I've spoken a lot about it recently in regard to the flock cameras and people who were attacked during that. I think there's some of that certainly going on against people who attend these rallies. But even on Saturday night when I was doing the Facebook Live, I mean, we had something like over 150 comments, and people were watching that broadcast. And we had a
I was sleep and woke up at the end long enough to show you that pumpkin spice donuts are out.
That is true. The pumpkin spice donuts apparently are out. But no, I mean, even during that broadcast, we were talking about a lot of things, and yet somehow there was a former city councilman from the early 2000s who got into a dust-up with
Cody.
With somebody who was there participating as well. And I can't, I don't understand, it had nothing to do with anything.
He has me blocked. When he participates, does he participate under his own name or under his page name?
Well, it's interesting because this past Saturday was the first time in a long time he was under his own name.
But he had been participating on your page under his page name, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so he went, we've all decided we know exactly who it is. He decided to stop with, like, pretending to be an animated cartoon character and actually come out and use his own page to talk.
Well, has he ever denied being that person? See, honestly, I'm not trying to be naive, and I'm not trying to say that...
Let's not talk about him in Facebook, because who cares? Let's talk about Ron Prater in Facebook.
But now, wait a second. Before we get to Prater, I know, has anybody ever asked him if he is that character, the Swamp Fox?
I don't know.
Okay,
the very first
that's
time
all
I made one comment on there, and it was like, because I don't do the propaganda and the regurgitation stuff. Like, everything is not all or nothing. And if you're going to do an all or nothing piece, then I'm going to call you out on it. And one call out then got me blocked. So they don't like questions being asked. It's one of those pages that if you ask even one question about logic, does this make sense logically? Not insulting or anything, just like follow me through all the way to the end, then you get blocked.
I'm just bringing that up because on Saturday, Jason Schauber was also participating in that, another former city council member. And
I slept through this, damn it.
Well, but again, the interesting thing to me was that was not the dust-up that Cody got into. He got into it with another former city council member.
John DeVore.
But he said he was a big fan of Schauber's. Now, Cody did. And I may be wrong on this, but...
Did he make hateful memes and stuff about Schauber, or at least participate in a page that made hateful memes about Schauber?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know who's behind these pages when the name is not linked with it, because, I mean, wasn't he taken to task for things that he said?
I thought so, but like I said, let's talk about Prater.
Okay, Ron Prater.
Okay, so Ron Prater wants a seat back. Ron Prater quit his job, then the guy that got his job quit that job, and now Ron Prater wants that job back. Well, somewhere in Marion, there's somebody that hung a sign on their house that says F, but it actually says the whole word, F. Flock. See, I'm keeping it Monday morning for you, Spears. F. Flock and our mayor. Well, Ron Prater shows up in his comment section and called the man a reprobate. And some other incoherent something about a flag and Jesus or something. I don't know. It really was. It didn't make any sense. But the part that caught me was that he called him a reprobate. And he wants his job back as a city council member. You know, you can think what you want to think, and you can be pro-flock or anti-flock or whatever. The city council, well, a person who wants to be a city council member is calling people reprobates because they are expressing their opinion in their own front yard. And to me, this goes to the people that are standing uptown by the courthouse with the sign and you having a comment section full of just absolute vitriol, except those people don't want to be city council people, or we don't think they do. So we've got Ron Prater. We know the town is up in arms about Flock. And there's Ron Prater, reprobate. You know, can we have a little bit of respect for the people and for their voice? You know, how would he feel about all these people that hung F. Joe Biden signs all over their yard? Because I thought that was just so incredibly tacky, just as fact that as someone who uses the F word a dozen or more times a day, that we had it plastered in print for children to see. Because when I'm around children, believe it or not, I don't use it like a comma. But was he okay with that? Was he okay with Let's Go Brandon and F. Joe Biden? But this man makes a sign that says F. Flock and F. Our Mayor, and he's a reprobate? I'm not cool with that, Spears.
Well, you know, I think the thing here is just simply, I think Prater feels this way. I mean, I don't think that's phony with him. I think that he is a definite Republican. He
I look Teresa Lubke up. For the people in the sixth ward that are listening, I look Teresa Lubke up. She has two master's degrees. One of them is in public policy and something, and the other one I can't remember. But if you pick Ron Prater over, she put her resume in. If you guys pick Ron Prater, city council, over Teresa Lubke, I hope that, I don't know. I'm going to make a documentary or something, because if aliens invaded tomorrow, I said this on your Facebook page, if aliens invaded tomorrow, Sixth Ward, you are the most affluent ward in the city. If aliens invaded tomorrow and said, take me to your leader, would you want to take them to Ron Prater? Would that be the leader you would want to take them to?
Well, but here's the thing. I think making Teresa Lubke the other option here, her problem is obviously going to be being a Democrat. And I think that would be the problem that the other council members would have with that, except Scott Kreider and possibly Aaron Rollins, is that she's a Democrat. Now, if there are other Republicans who put their name in, like I said last week, the more Republicans who put their name in, I think the more difficult time Ron Prater's going to have. But if it comes down to a Republican versus a Democrat, I think they're going to pick the Republican. But if there are other Republicans, maybe we'll see. But I don't know. I think they feel they got burned in some way by Nathan Stevenson.
Good. I'm glad they feel that way, because I actually feel like the guy sort of represents me at times. Well, actually, I think more often than not, I'm pleasantly surprised by him.
But I don't think you can be angry that the seat that was won by Ron Prater, that the Republicans on council, who control all but one seat, would want a Republican in that seat.
Okay, here's my suggestion. Everybody that wants the seat, they just put their name in a hat and they draw one. That just seems to be the most fair thing to do at this time, since we're not going with the most qualified, because Teresa Lubke's obviously the most qualified.
Well, we don't know who's running. I mean, there are a lot of people in the sixth ward.
Who else is going to have a master's degree in public policy? I mean, come on. Who else knows Robert's rules like Teresa Lubke and fiscal balances and...
Well, there's that, but I...
All of that nonprofit accounting. I mean, she could step into the job. She wouldn't need trained.
Right, but Teresa Lubke...
She's got the wrong letter behind her name.
Well... But see, I don't know. Here's the thing. I think the experience in the structure a lot of times is not necessarily... Teresa Lubke is an interesting person, because during this whole flock debate, she seemed to be at odds with Scott Kreider, the other Democrat on council, in that she seemed...
She's very procedure-driven.
Right, and
that's what we need. We need that structure up there right now.
Well...
We don't need Ron Prater sitting there going, I remember one time when I was down in Texas driving, and it was night, and there was a coyote, and it had a silver line right down the side of it, and I thought, look at that coyote, and that's why we need to put a stop sign on Merck Street.
But
we don't need any more of that.
But that's not procedural. I have no doubt that she would know the procedures. But there are a lot of people who have been there for years now who apparently don't know the procedures and don't realize that the vote to overturn the flock legislation should not have happened last Monday.
Elections have consequences, and I know it's break time, so I want to get this in. To all the haters in the comment section, and you were there, Sears, we got 1,000 times more honks than we got hate on Saturday.
There was a lot of honks.
I was impressed by that.
And we're going to break. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Fact that God is the creator of all, that we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Students need to know that they have a unique purpose. We are made to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So be a part.